On Hogan, clearly the Dockers don't want him part of their mix. They've made that really clear now, haven't they? He's contracted, as far as I know him to be. But the 2 years he had there wasn't, just didn't work out the way he wanted it to. And obviously with Justin Longmuir coming in as a fresh start at the start of 2020 season, that decision's been made. I totally get it. He's not for everyone, is he, Jesse Hogan? Clearly.
Well, he's not. Look, I'm pretty sure if he is going to the GWS Giants, you know, that's a club that we've mentioned right now. But as I've said over the last couple of days, those clubs would need full disclosure in relation to what his issues are. And why
are clubs obliged to give that up, though, Sauce?
Well, I think they need – not clubs. I think Jesse and his management group do, okay, because you need to know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because you don't want him coming in, and if he's not open and transparent and his management group aren't open and transparent, well, you're dealing with issues that are going to pop up. You'd rather be prepared and know what you've got coming in, and then you can put the right people around him, right structures around him, and understand, okay, if there is a little bit of a slip-up, we know how to handle these things. So I'm sure that whatever club he ends up, they would have all the you know, mechanisms in place to make sure that they'd make this trade work.
He has to have a full psychological assessment. So you put that back on your psychological team at your club. Everyone's got one. And you do that very thoroughly and make a lot of phone calls and to make your assessment.
At what point, though, do you decide not to go down that path? When you've identified a player's talent that you want to bring in.
Yeah.
At what point do you let the off-field matters override your abilities to judge a
football? I think there's an element of where you've got to get your key stakeholders. What I mean about key stakeholders, you'd be talking to your leadership group, you'd be talking to your captains, you'd be talking to your medical staff, support staff, the key people, your coaches. And, you know, you'd obviously be having meetings and you'd be trying to gather all the information, references, and understand what we've got here. Now, I don't know what Jesse Hogan's, if he's got, what type of issues he's got. Like, you know, it might be anxiety issues, you know. So many great players have anxiety issues, but I don't know what they are.
He's had a lot of off-field matters, made public. So, yeah.
So, but it's about making a value judgment, a value decision of getting the key people at that football club and sitting around the table and working out what needs to be done. And obviously there'd be obviously some meetings along the way with Jesse and his management group and ticking off and then coming to a final decision and saying, yes, we'd like to pursue this. No, you know what, this is just too hard for us. We haven't got the right group or we can't handle it.
This conversation is one we'll have later on in the day, Sauce, too. We have this segment on the late trade. We, up until today, had called it Philosophical Sauce. It's been suggested by our listeners that we should change the name of it to Philosophical. And I think that could stick. I think that's going to work. And already the topic for conversation today under that banner is, what is the balance between identifying good character and good talent when recruiting players? So let's park that Jesse Hogan component to that conversation until about 5:15 or thereabouts Melbourne time tonight when we get to Philosophical. I think it's going to take off, that particular name.
Well, I can murder a couple of words. Don't worry about that. So it could stick.
So just back on the Hogan, maybe before we finish off on him, do you rate him? This will be a third club for a guy who's been in the system 6 years only. Mm. He's got elite talent. He's never kicked a bag of goals. And yet in his first handful of games, I recall him at the MCG on one Saturday afternoon, almost ragdolling the emerging at that stage, Alex Rance. When I say emerging, he was already established. And it was a year that Alex Rance made an All-Australian and he kicked four on him quite easily.
Look, his best is great, isn't it? We know that. For some reason, hasn't quite worked out for him. Was it a good decision to go back home to Perth? Clearly that hasn't worked out. Sometimes you think if someone has got some mental issues that's good to be back around family. Well, it didn't help his footy there. So he played his best footy when he was at Melbourne. I just, as Sos said, I don't know the issues. And maybe, you know, being 26, third club, last chance, helps him with that stuff. His issues off field, they haven't been major. They've been sort of minor stuff, really, when you think about it. So I don't think he's a an off-field major problem at all. I wouldn't have an issue with that. But obviously you have to deal with if there's mental issues or stuff you can help him with that. You know, he might need different prescription of drugs or something, you know, that might be able to help him with that. But the other factor in bringing a player like Jesse into the club, I'm telling you, the players will have more information on him than any other group
right.
of people.
Yeah.
The players, you know, they all talk to each other, and especially since they've been in hubs up there together and for a long time, they'll have more information. They'll have information on every player at every club, yeah. all the players. So if you want to find out about something, go and ask some of your players.
And while we're talking about off-field issues with him too, it has been the foot problems that he's caught which have stymied his actual progress as a player, mostly. Hasn't it? I mean, he was tracking well. I mean, Joel Brooks is here reminding us midway through 2018, he was averaging 20 disposals and 3 goals a game. And at that stage, the most recent player to do that before him was Steve Johnson in 2011. We know that he hurt his foot in round 16 or 17 that year. Has not been the same since.
Yeah, well, it's that's really handy information. I mean, obviously what it's telling you is that when he has a hiccup in his football through injury, it's probably something that he can't deal with in terms of, you know, that downtime or the disappointment. So when he's playing, he's probably, you know, as good as anyone. So yeah. I just wanted to sort of probably go back to Matty's point. I love the way Jesse Hogan plays. I think he puts his body on the line. He's really capable. I'd love to see him see Jesse Hogan play centre half back.
Right.
And I reckon it would freshen him up. Playing forward, and certainly he could play forward. There's no doubt about that. But I reckon playing at centre half back would give him extra years on the end of his career. There's not as much pressure on you playing centre half back. You can defend, and there's times you can attack. I just feel when I watch Jesse sometimes, he can get down on himself. There was even a period, one of the last couple of games this year, where you just saw things weren't working for him, and he just sort of dropped his head a little bit.
Yep.
But at centre-half back, you're always in the game. Where playing at full forward, there are times where you can – the ball, you mightn't see the ball for 6, 7, 8 minutes, and, you know, you can go cold.
Mm.
I'd love to see him play at centre-half back.
And, and they didn't see the ball for 6 or 7 or 8 minutes at GWS this year because they played so damn slow and had so little inside 50s. If you're going to get Jesse Hogan in and think you're going to play him as a forward, you better start moving the ball like the Tsunami Army used to do.
Like he used to, yeah.
The Orange Army, I mean, back a couple of years ago. That's what they need to do for their forwards to shine.
Yep. Let's take a break, guys. Our first today on the late trade.